welcome Kevin Bridges.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Welcome along to Edinburgh Comedy Fest Live. There we are. It's exciting. Edinburgh. Edinburgh, I discovered it's called. This summer in a Spanish airport, Edinburgh. I love watching the hysteria at the Edinburgh departure gate. Edinburgh, where's that about? Yeah. David, let me see the boarding passes. David, Edinburgh, is this the right terminal? I don't even know if that's the accent. We're here. Anyway, we're making a show. Yeah. Feel that excitement? No, I'm 27. I'm no longer a youth. I've got mates who are getting married, having kids. I'm thinking about it. You never know. I live in a nice part of Glasgow these days, though. So I live in a leafy suburb. So if I have children, they'll be pricks. I've kept my terms. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to raise pricks. My own son. He'll be that wee guy walking down with his purple blazer, carrying a violin case, just tuned to the moon. He's going to grow up on a different planet from me. I don't know how I'll handle that. I think it'll be tough to take. My own son going, Dad, Dad, this iPad isn't performing the software update. Can we book an appointment with a genius this Saturday and have this resolved once and for all? Shut the f*** up, you wee tool. That's the kind of father I'll be. You can go upstairs, find my golf club, go outside and chop some jaggy nettles. How's that sound? That's a Saturday afternoon. We're speaking to no genius. You go out there, chop some jaggies, get to know yourself. Embrace the boredom, decapitate a few dandelions. That's that, young people. They don't know how to be bored anymore. Boredom's dying. They're just too busy checking Facebook. Just, you know, that hollow sadness that hits you when you're spending too much time on Facebook, just realising how much you hate your own aunties and stuff. Like, T-Mobile are actually so frustrating. Auntie Janice, I despise you. I preferred the relationship pre-Facebook. See, once, birthday, Christmas, that, twice a year. Great auntie, loved it. Just don't like your opinions and stuff. I used to get bored when I was young. I used to sit and record myself singing on a cassette player. Remember the days? Hit and play and record at the same time, singing mid-90s pop songs. That was me. Yes, baby, if you've got to go away. Don't think I can take the pain. Won't you stay another day, stay now? That was both of them, and it created something beautiful. I tried to start a boy band based on that. On that single that I released to myself. Played it back. That was that, Element 4. That's what we're called. I gave me and my mates, because I was bored. Gave me my mates aliases. Earth, Wind, Rain, Fire. That was us. I was Wind. They laughed at me. That's that. I thought, I'm going solo. Big Wind. Exciting times in Scotland. Everything's happening, innit? I'd imagine that's just something people say, isn't it? It's real feel-good factor about Scotland right now, because we had the Commonwealth Games and that we're hosting the European Music Awards in Glasgow. That'll be good. Music fans, yep. Guy in the front row, what you into?
Jethro Tull.
What? Who? Jethro Tull, that's the genre of music you like. Get a camera right on it and expose that man. Camera guy. What's Jethro Tull's biggest hit?
Living in the past.
Living in the past. I take it that's a song that speaks to you, sir. Yeah. You need to get into Element 4, into the new bands. One Direction, boy bands. Are there any Directioners in? Any 1D fans? Yeah, everybody loves them.
Danced all night to the best song ever. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Until we see the sun.
Every pop song these days is singing about that. Until we see the sun. Oh, until 6 a.m. We're going to party on down. Until 6 a.m. Singing about parties that have got scheduled end times. Ever try to get a bunch of your pals to leave your house at 6 a.m? Mayhem, I didn't show. He's what I call it tonight. You hear that? What, man, the shop's opening. We'll get cans. Only 6 a.m. Some guy walking about your living room steaming, looking for a Nokia charger. That's what happens at 6 in the morning. Just so he can continue an argument with his missus. I told you I was having a mad one. That's the only justification for having a mad one. He told her he was having a mad one. I thought you were going to your ma's to watch Strictly anyway. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, Ryan. How do I know what time Strictly finishes? Highlights of the game, a game of FIFA that was played about 3 hours ago, still playing on the telly. He's looking up thinking it's Sky Sports. When the dogs there beat Brazil. Oh, him after the game, Foxy. What's your name, sir?
Ian.
Where are you from, Ian? You live in Edinburgh now, so where are you from, Ian? You're from Belfast. I love the accent, though. You make me sound like Michael Bublé over there. There's a bomb in the biscuit tin. That's the way they sound. No, it's calmed a wee bit, innit? It's the troubles, it's calmed. Golf, that's the thing, innit? Rory McIlroy, Darren Clark, Graham McDowell. They've ditched the guns and bought golf clubs. It's good to see. They're still chucking the odd petrol bomb, but they're shouting four. We're giving each other a bit of feedback on their swing. What you got? Just bend your knees, just shoulders square on. Visualise it, get the police station in your sights there. Just Oh, we're excited. We're having an independence referendum up here. That's. And everybody's talking about it. Whatever happens in September, I reckon the whole country could go and reset their higher modern studies. There's people who are clued up. We should have it every 4 years. Just keep having referendums. That's what will get Scottish people through a World Cup. Just a referendum. Something to talk about. And then the year England win it, that's when they go independent. That's the way. That's the feeling. Now, that's when you see debates. 6 in the morning and house parties. You don't want to see Alistair Darling and Alex Salmond on a podium on the telly. House party, that's when you get guys lighting a fag off a toaster, giving their tuppence worth. See, if we vote no, mate, we're like Rihanna getting back with Chris Brown, mate. That's us. That's the kind of stuff Alex Salmond needs to say. He really captured the mood in the nation on that leadership debate. Just start calling him a shitebag and stuff. No. What about the economic risks? What about them? Shitebag. That's what he needs. He'll win the people's hearts if he'd done that. Just maybe throw him a wee dummy punch just to make him flinch on the telly. No currency union, yeah, pal. Anyway, we're going to get the first guy on, ladies and gentlemen. Please make some noise for the wonderful Nish Kumar.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Nish. How are you? I was born in London, but my parents were not. My parents come from India. Now, they come from a part of India called Kerala. This is a very interesting place. There's been a lot of immigration there in the last 600, 700 years. Vasco da Gama led a Portuguese delegation there. There's an indigenous Arab population. There's an indigenous Jewish population. And what's happened is all that diversity has crawled up and landed on my face because... This is an ethnically ambiguous situation, okay? It looks like I've gone to a costume party dressed as everyone. And here's a little trick I can play with my face. It changes ethnicity depending on the angle at which you are looking at it. So watch this, it starts out like this going, Arab, 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 Jew, Brazilian. It's that kind of face. You might think, oh, Nish, that's nice. You embody the diversity of the global community. You're a true citizen of the modern world. Let me tell you, all that means is I get stopped at customs everywhere. I am a person of interest to absolutely everyone, and it doesn't matter if they see the British passport, because I've got a face that looks like it comes from the People's Arab Republic of Jewistan. But I'm very proud of being both British and Asian. It's very nice. I feel very proud of being a multicultural man. But very often people don't like you to be both. They like you to pick one and stick with it. And this pressure comes from both sides. Because Indian people who live in Britain have a word for people that they don't think are being Indian enough. And that word is coconut. Coconut, because you're brown on the outside, white on the inside. Coconut, because you're brown on the outside, white on the inside. Coconut, because you're brown on the outside, white on the inside. Now, biologically, this is a crock of shit. Biologically, I'm brown on the outside, and then there's just a load of red and black crap. So I'm less a coconut, I'm more a Black Forest gatto. Which, ironically, is exactly the sort of comment that led to me being labelled as a coconut. And the thing is, I make light of it now, but it really used to affect me until one day I was having a conversation with one of the kids who called me a coconut, and he was saying, what are you doing over the Christmas holidays, Nish? And I said, well, I'm going to India to visit my grandmother. And he said, ugh, why are you doing that? I was like, she lives in India. She's my grandma. I have no idea. I never thought I'd have to justify that sentence. And he said, I'm never going to India. And I said, why not? And he said, because it's dirty and they don't have rap music. It's dirty and they don't have rap music. This man who thought he was an arbitrator of what was and what was not Indianness would not visit the country of his parents' birth because of the absence of MC Hammer. And it's not even true. They have loads of rap music and it's incredibly clean. And at that moment, I realised I'd been craving the approval of a pack of braying morons. And that, in fact, if I was a coconut because I was brown on the outside and white on the inside, then they were Easter eggs because they were brown on the outside and empty. It's a good time to be a non-white person. 2014. There's really nothing I can't do that a white person can do. I really believe that. There's nothing I can't do. Oh, apart from one thing, there's one thing I can't do that white people can do, and that's play pranks at international airports, because... that is not open to you when you have the voice of Downton but the face of Homeland. That is not... Friends are always like, oh, Nish, let's have some banter with the customs officials. And I always say, no, thank you. The only prank I'm playing is let's not get fingered, okay? I walk into the airports with my belt in one hand, my shoes in the other. I'm wearing T-shirts that say, I heart the West. Just run up to random white people. I'm like, you know what sucks? Jihad. Still doesn't matter, though. I got pulled out of an airport security queue in May of this year. And normally I don't mind, but on this occasion, I was wearing a T-shirt that had a picture of Mahatma Gandhi on it and said the word peace. And when they pulled me out of the queue, I was like, really? Is this the Al-Qaeda uniform? Absolutely livid. And I went back to my girlfriend who was waiting for me in the queue and I said, this is the opposite of what a terrorist would wear. And she said, is it Nish or is it the perfect disguise? So... ladies and gentlemen, you've been a delight. My name's Nish. Good night.
Hello. Now, some people have described me as quite odd, but I would say I'm not odd, I'm from Hull. Oh, got one in. But just to attune your ears to the accent, because it is quite strong, if you can repeat after me, oh no, the snow on the road. And that's a severe weather warning. And the other one is Mamma Mia. And that's telling your mother you've arrived. You're very intelligent audience. Do you know that? I don't know how much you know about Hull, but it's a city on the up. I know we've got the City of Culture in 2017. Do you know, because I used to say, oh, if you don't know Hull, it's a lot different from other cities. Like, you've got London, auntie, that hosted the Olympics, and Hull that hosted Zumba classes you can smoke in. But it's not like that anymore. I'm a bit put off going clubbing there, actually. The last time I went clubbing in Hull was for a school reunion, and we ended up like in this real dodgy bar, and there was a woman here on the table with her top off, and all these men like stood leering around her, and my friend went, don't look, Lucy, like that. I went, why? And she went, it's your mum. She's not like that anymore though. I've got something from my hometown. Would you like to see it?
Yes.
When I get a bit homesick, I have a look at it. It's a pizza flyer. Look at that. It's colourful, isn't it? And here, speciality burger bar. Gangbang burger. And this, can you believe this? It's 8 beef burgers, 4 chicken burgers, topped with cheese, fried onion, mushroom and egg for £5.10. I know. And this on the back. This useful telephone numbers. Humberside Police Non-Emergency. And NHS Direct. You can't write it, can you? But you know, life doesn't always turn out the way you expected, does it? Do you know, I wanted to be a poet when I grew up. I know, and I still write poetry. I wrote one recently. My friend got married and she said, Lucy, will you write a poem and read it out at the ceremony? I said, yeah, I will. And when I found out I wasn't going to be bridesmaid, I changed it a bit. And the end of it when, there are people dying, wars being fought, families being torn apart, but you just enjoy yourselves. But do you know, isn't it funny how, like, some people find love and some people don't? Do you know, my friend Jackie, she's been single now for about 10 years, and the thing is, she doesn't do herself any favours. Do you know, she was on an aeroplane going on holiday and she said she went into the toilet and she walked in and it was like, she said, Mr. Whippy. Coming up, I know, she said it was horrific. So she came back out and she pulled her face and she sat back down and then this gorgeous guy got up who she'd seen earlier and she really wanted to talk to. And he did the same thing. He went in and he came back out and he pulled her face and Jackie went to him. I just did that. Thank you very much, thanks.
Hello, Edinburgh. It's good to be back. Nice to be here. You know, you travel around a lot doing stand-up. I was doing some gigs earlier on in the year. I was in a place called Carmarthen, right? And Carmarthen train station, they have platform one, right? And platform two. Don't worry, that's not the end of the story. Platform one, platform two. The really odd thing was there's no discernible way of getting from platform one to platform two. There's no tunnel underneath the platforms or bridge over the platforms, right? I'm on platform one, I need to be on platform two. I'm quite a shy person, so I just awkwardly stood on platform one for like 10 minutes. Eventually, a guard came up to me, said, mate, I'm just checking, is everything all right? Because loads of trains have gone past. You haven't got on any of them. I was like, well, I'm not suicidal, but I'm not happy. I'm in between, I guess. He's like, what's the matter? I said, I'm just wondering, how do I get on to platform number two? He went, simple. You just walk across the tracks. That's what he said. You just walk across the tracks. I was like, what if there's a train coming? He went, don't walk across the tracks. That is the system they employ there in Carmarthen. It's less public transport, more sort of natural selection. I always seem to attract the nutter on the train, right? Like, I was on the train the other day, right? It went, like, one stop. This guy got on the train and he sat opposite me, right? I need to describe to you what he was wearing. He had a full pinstriped suit on, but the jacket was open at the front. He had a shirt on underneath, right, that was also open at the front. You could see his belly. On top of this, right, he was wearing a denim jacket that had been unbuttoned at the front. Top of the denim jacket, he was wearing a leather jacket that had been unzipped. The piece de resistance, right, he had a full walnut balaclava that had been rolled all the way down. He got on the train and sat opposite me. Now, if you're ever in that situation, my advice to you would be, get off the train. I don't even care if you're not at a stop. Just use the emergency hammer and smash your way to freedom. I was feeling unusually confident. I was feeling bold, right? What I thought I would do is I'd take a photograph of this man, right? I thought, I'd tell my friends this story, they're not going to believe me, right? So I need some kind of evidence. Now, if you're trying to take a photograph of someone on public transport, obviously you don't want them to know, right? So get your phone out, hold it up like this. This is a really important thing to remember. Wiggle your thumb like this. Anyone sat opposite you, it looks as if you're just sending a text message when in fact you're about to take a sneaky photograph. Got him in the middle of the frame, right? Exactly where I wanted him. Hit the button to take the photo. The very last minute, realised I'd accidentally left the flash on my camera. So what I'd done is, I'd sat opposite a proper psychopath and then blatantly taken a photograph of him. Then I realised the skill of his outfit. I'm like, he kicks the shit out of me. I go to the police. They're like, well, what was he wearing? I'm like, I hope you've recently sharpened your pencil. This guy was like a ninja onion. Thank you very much for listening to me. I've been Lloyd Lang for 2 weeks. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. How are we doing? Are we well? Oh, you can tell it's post-Commonwealth Games. I was actually at that opening ceremony. I had the most Scottish experience of my life. I was delayed for half an hour getting into the stadium because I was caught behind a bus full of 50 Scotty dogs that were getting searched for drugs and weapons. How mental do you think the dogs are in Scotland? Got that heroin? I just put up the dog's arse, so it'll be fine. I had a weird vision of watching big dogs sniffing wee dogs. That's odd. I've only ever seen that in specialist internet sites. Then I was trying to get through security at the same time as 50 Scotty dogs, Susan Boyle and John Barrowman. Thought, this has got all the recipe for the perfect Scottish sex party. All we need is a set of car keys and the crankies and we are ready to rumble. It was amazing. It was a great moment for Scotland. I love being from here. I'm from Glasgow. I've grown up with the name Desmond in Glasgow. That's no easy. I just bullied myself. It saved time. I grew up in the high-rise flats. My nickname at school was Lemonade because I lived 7 up. That's not a lie. The Glaswegian banter, there you go. They call us the Ouijis. That's our nickname for Glasgow. How do you make a Ouija board? Take away his heroin. Social problems. But people are so literal in this country as well, and it's nice that people don't give you any time of the day or believe that you're famous. I had a guy sidle up to me in a toilet when I'm at a urinal, look down and go, I recognise you for the radio. Well, that's some wireless you've got, big man. Is that DAB? But I'm not a lad. I'm not a man's man. I can't do it. Trying to chat up girls, for me, there's a problem. And this has been the same since I was a kid. I'm chatting up a girl and there's one conversation going on in my head, but there are several different words coming out of my mouth. So I'll chat up a girl and think, I'm in there, why, you look wonderful tonight. You and I should be together. Maybe I could meet your family. I was 12, but you've got to start somewhere. That's what I'm thinking I'm saying. In reality, I'm going, I've got a stone in my pocket. Do you want to touch it? It's a shiny one for the beach. You can see why girls ran a mile. It was the same when I started work in a supermarket. People come up and ask me an innocent question. Do you know where the beans are? They're inside my head. Touch it. Can I live in your house? This has always happened to me. Never the greatest in social situations. I remember going to Amsterdam. That was on my one and only ever stag do. Yeah, Amsterdam, me and 7 computer programmer friends of mine. Basically, should have just called it Geeks on Tour.
We actually went there, and I have real laddish mates that were so excited about me going, couldn't wait to tell me, and were trying to express this, couldn't physically control themselves. I had one pal that was like, oh, Amsterdam, it's amazing, it's amazing, it's amazing, it's amazing. There's women in windows. Now, it's hard to try and explain what he was talking about. There's women, there's dirty women, there's ping pong balls. I thought, why are you in fast forward? Took me a week to figure out what he meant. There are women who work in the sexual industry that parade themselves in windows in certain parts of Amsterdam. I didn't know what parts. I was going up to council estates looking in windows and going, wow, I can see her shoulder. She's amazing. She's doing the ironing. This is kinky, right? And I swear that shows that we weren't sex people at all. We got to the first window. This woman's giving it loudly with the ping pong balls. It's like a bingo machine. It's tremendous. And right at the moment where she's giving it her best shot, a guy looks behind her to a building next to her and goes, God, look, there's a CNA. Now, I can't explain why he was so excited about a shop that we haven't seen for about 8 years. But the next thing I know, somebody's saying, go on, let's buy a jumper. We are now leaving the sex district of Amsterdam, going to buy matching jumpers from CNA. We all come back wearing them, and it's the scratchiest jumper you've ever felt in your life. I'm like, I'm coming back from Amsterdam with an itch, and no one will believe how I got it. And we kept getting told, oh, the windows get more and more extreme as you walk up. So we're like, oh my God, this is amazing. Oh, what's she doing? There might be a Woolworths at the end of it. I know. Who's up for a pick and mix, right? And a big mate of mine called Fat Pat, I've never seen him move the length of himself. He ran all the way up to the last window in the canal area, the sex district of Amsterdam, got level with that window. He was salivating, he was so excited. Looked around to us, he was saying, come on, boys, this is amazing. We thought, wow, what can be up there? Got up level with him, kebab shop. Couldn't have made it. Folks, you've been absolutely gorgeous. It's great to play this gig and beat the festival. Thank you very much. Good night.
How we doing? We all right? Yeah. Very nice to be here, ladies and gentlemen. Very nice. I got a train up to Scotland, and sometimes when I get a train, I fall asleep and I wake up with pins and needles in one of my legs. Have you ever tried to walk with pins and needles in one of your legs? You always have to drag your leg. You're always like going, oh, Jesus Mary, Mother of God, what's going on? Right? You're like Kaiser Soze, right? It's ridiculous walking around like that. Every time I see gangsters down in London where I live and they're going like this, yeah, blood, yeah, I see you, blood, yeah, give me your Oyster card, yeah, what's your mother's maiden name, yeah? I'm thinking, those lads just got pins and needles, right? That's all that's wrong with them. I got a train into Edinburgh Waverley and I woke up on the train with pins and needles in both me legs. Have you ever tried to walk with pins and needles in both your legs? It's impossible. I got off the train, I was like this going, oh God, what is going on here? This is ridiculous, right? There's people walking past me on the platform going, oh my God, is that guy hiding an erection? What's he doing, right? The train manager saw me and he thought that I was a passenger that needed some form of assistance. So he started walking over towards me. But we all know that once the blood starts circulating around the legs, after a few seconds, the pins and needles just goes away. And all the train manager saw was me doing this, just going, oh God, this is ridiculous. What is going on? Oh God, I feel okay now. Oh God, I feel fine now. That's great. And then I just walked off like that. It looked like the evolution of man. I'm getting a bit older now as well. You know, there's a few things that happens when you get a bit older that you know you're getting a bit old. For example, you know you're getting old when you come in from a night out at 1 o'clock in the morning and you take the mince out of the freezer for the following night's dinner. Oh, we've got a few mince takers out here tonight. Are you coming to bed? No, I've got spag ball tomorrow, honestly. Because that's what it's like when you get to your 30s, you know, like it's all about planning for tomorrow, you know? When you get in your 20s, you're going out after work, you can turn up for work, you know, with a traffic cone on your head, kebab down the front. You're like, oh, it was Dangerous Dave out last night. When you get to your 30s, people are like, would you like to go for a drink? You're like, oh God, no, I've got a busy day next week. I need to stay in and prepare for that. I am trying to get a bit of a better adult, you know, like I went to the bank recently and I said to them, I want to buy a house, you know? And they gave me, an amount of money that they said that they would lend me. So what I did was, I Googled around Britain to see how far my money would go based on the area if I chose to live in the area. So in Edinburgh, I can afford to buy a 2-bedroom apartment on the outskirts of Edinburgh. Then I went down into England, into Manchester. I can buy a two-bedroomed house in Manchester. Then I went to Stoke in England. I can buy all of Stoke. Every last inch. They'll even make me mayor. That's how much investment they need in the area. Then I went to Milton Keynes. I can buy a two-bedroom terrace house on the outskirts of Milton Keynes. And then I went into London. I can buy a small cappuccino. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much. Good night.
Disclaimer, I'm ever so sorry. I've got a very croaky voice at the moment. It's reached that part of the fringe. I know it's bad, right? Because I got a cold call this morning. And people who cold call you, they'll use a croaky voice to try and get you on side, right? She said, hello, is that Miss Barnes? I said, yes, speaking. She said, oh, Miss Barnes, you sound like you've got a terrible cold. I said, really? You sound like you've got a third in media studies from Luton. What do you want? We'll crack on anyway. I knew I was looking rough this morning, right? But I was walking down the Royal Mile and nobody handed me a flyer for a show. Nobody, but somebody did hand me a leaflet called The Truth About Drugs. Charming, isn't it? I don't do drugs, ladies and gentlemen, I don't, but I do worry that I might be missing out a little bit. Right, so I've got a plan, and that is that I'm going to start doing Class A drugs when I'm in my 80s. Because why wouldn't you, right? You haven't got to get up in the morning, have you? Right? You'll never have trouble finding a vein. I'll tell you what, you might not be able to afford to heat a bungalow, but I bet you can afford to heat a teaspoon, then you won't give a shit how cold you are. I can't believe the amount of sports people that do drugs. That blows my mind, right? We had Lance Armstrong, didn't we? Last year, Frankie Dettori, the jockey, got a six-month ban from horse racing for using cocaine, right? Now, call me naive, but in horse racing, wouldn't it make more sense to drug the horse? Unless you're planning on carrying that thing to the finishing line, I don't know. But apparently they do drug their horses, right? A couple of trainers got done recently for drugging their horses. I mean, presumably not with cocaine. Don't know if you've ever tried to get a horse into a toilet cubicle. If you have, your stag do's gone horribly wrong, isn't it? Think of the mess it'd make for a start. You'd be like that. Tell you what though, if you are planning on drugging your horses, right, you want to make damn sure that the rider's not on drugs as well. Because you know what happens, don't you? If you've got a horse that's on drugs and a rider on drugs, dressage. So I am a single woman. I've been doing a lot of online dating recently. Have you got any online daters in? We've got more than that, you liars. I've seen loads of faces I recognise so far from OkCupid. Don't you give me that. I love it. I treat it like a hobby. Right? I've got a spreadsheet. It's brilliant. Love it. I went on a few dates with this guy recently, right? See what you think about this. Went on a few dates with this guy, and we were getting on quite well, so I thought I'd invite him round to my house for dinner, right? Which I did. And we went to bed together, because I'm a bit of a slag. And, and we were about to get down to it, and he said something to me that no one's ever said to me before. He said, Angela, I'd really like it if you'd let me cover you in toothpaste. Now, you don't seem shocked by that at all. Is that a thing? So for a start, it's got a certain deep heat quality to it, if you know what I'm saying. Right? So if you're going to cover me in a toilet tree, at least make it Imac and save me a job later. Toothpaste. Oh, and he brought his own toothpaste with him. Yeah, and it wasn't the cheap stuff either. It was Oral-B. Which incidentally is also what I've graded him on my spreadsheet. I've been swimming a lot. I learnt to swim this year. I know, 37, just learnt to swim. I thought next year I might join the Brownies. We'll see how that goes. You know, in the Brownies, right, they've now got a self-esteem badge. How shit are you going to feel if you don't get it? I recently did a sponsored swim, right, and it was 1,500 metres, and I'd only just learnt to swim. And one of the people that was there cheering me on was Duncan Goodhue. And he was there cheering me on, and because I was the slowest, I was the last one left in the pool at the end of this sponsored swim. And he jumped in and he joined me for my last length. How cool is that? But I had no idea he was going to do it. First I knew of it, I looked behind me, I thought one of my tits had fallen out of my swimming costume. I think he quite enjoyed it when I tried to put it back in again. Enjoy the rest of your night, but Angela Barnes, thank you very much.
Yes, hello. Every time I'm on stage, I always get women throwing themselves at me. maybe not tonight.
I used to, you know. I've been with my girlfriend for 7 years. I've been doing stand-up for 8. But in that first year, it used to happen all of the time. Now, I'm looking at everyone's faces in this room. They're like, no. You're shaped like an avocado, right? How could this even be true? But it did. I remember coming off stage once and a girl came up to me after the show and she said, do you want to hang out? I said, yeah, let's hang out. And she brought me around to her place. And when I got into her place, you know what she said? I can't sleep with you, but I can give you head. And I said, you know what? That's more than what I expected. If that's what you want to do, I am not going to stop you, right? And as soon as she said that, she left the room. She left me in her living room. Now, I don't know this girl from nowhere, so I'm trying to work out who she is just from her furnishings. And she had an Elton John wig there, and I saw some tassels as well, and I saw a whip, and I thought, okay, this girl's a freak. But she was gone for a little bit too long for my liking, like 5 minutes had gone past, 7 minutes, she still hasn't returned. And at the back of my mind, this council estate mind, I started to think, you know what? This could be a honey trap. Because she just saw me getting paid cash from this gig. Maybe, maybe she's after my £17.50, right? Maybe. This is what's going on. But she's gone for ages now, so I don't see her. So what I'd done was open up the door that she disappeared from. Now I'm in a hallway with 3 more doors in it. So it's like Alice in Wonderland, right? And I went to the first door and I opened it up and said, hello? And I got no answer, so walked down to the end of the corridor, opened up the second door, and there was a man handcuffed to a bed. A skinny little white man, handcuffed to a bed. And he saw me, and he was like, ah! 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 And I saw that, so I started panicking. I was like, what the hell is going on in here? And the man's like, ah! 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 Because I'm a big black man, and this could be Pulp Fiction. And the girl came running from the third room. She goes, oh my God, what's going on? You've upset my slave. And me and the guys look at each other like, which one's a slave? And she said, go back to where you came from. I was like, what, the living room or culturally? I don't understand. Whatever, that's what happened. And sir, it's very nice to see you got out the room. But I don't do any of this anymore, like I said, because I'm in a relationship now to an amazing girl. Amazing. You know, sometimes I think she's so too good for me, because I look at myself and I think to myself, Mama God, like she's beautiful and she's intelligent. Like, how did I end up with a girl like that? And sometimes I see her looking at me thinking the exact same thing. Like, why am I with this man, right? Especially when she sees me lying down in a bed all day. That's what I love to do, just lie down in a bed. And I lie there, right? And I'm there and I've got Wotsits. And there's never enough Wotsits, is there? So I have to buy multi-pack Wotsits. And I don't even sit down and eat them. I lie down in my bed and eat these Wotsits. And I've got Football Manager open on my laptop. And I'm the happiest I ever am. Until she comes home. And she's upset with me because the place is a mess. There's clothes everywhere. The dishes are all piled up. She comes marching up the stairs. She kicks the door open. And she sees this big fat walrus lying down in a bed with a sea of empty Wotsit packets. And she goes, what's going on in here? You've done nothing all day. What have you done? But she doesn't know I've won the Champions League. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been Marlon Davis. Thank you very much. Good night.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. It's so nice to be here. Now, I'm from America, but I live in Ireland a long time. But actually, for the last year and a half, I've been living in China. I tried to learn enough Chinese in a year to do stand-up comedy in Chinese, right? There are many reasons why. Before I learned how to speak the Irish language, which opened me up to a market of 60,000 people. So I said, the next time I learn a language, I'm going all out. 1.3 billion of those people. Right? Soon I won't be needing you white folks. I have a whole new market. But the main reason I went is because I used to have a really, really good Chinese friend. He used to live in Ireland. He moved back to China. Seamus. Now...
Seamus wasn't the name his mother gave him. Obviously, I don't know if you know this, but years ago in Ireland, we had an economy, and people went to Ireland to work. So these guys would stay in host families, right? The host family would go to the airport to greet them. They'd be like, welcome to Ireland. What is your name? And the Chinese guys would be like, Sung Chi Yu. And the family would be like, Seamus. Welcome to Ireland, Seamus. There'd be no Sung Chi Yu in this house unless we're eating it, okay? In fact, I tell you what, we'll all go for a Chinese, will we? You can order. I've been eating number 63 my whole life. Chicken curry, half rice, half chips. Do you have that in China, do you? That's Ireland's favorite Chinese dish. Chicken curry, half rice, half chips. Because it's not dinner unless there's potatoes in it. We have to have half potatoes, but I'll have half rice as well. I'm not racist. So, while I was in China, I learned Chinese. And during the summer last year, I actually worked for a month in a real Chinese restaurant right on the border of Russia for a month, full Chinese, as a welcomer, a greeter who welcomes people in. And I had a very interesting experience. My job was very simple. Customers would arrive and I would say, Huaying Guanling, which means you are very welcome. And then customers would leave and I would say, Huaying Satsi Guanling, Manzo Sai Jian. Right, very simple job, every day, welcome and leave. But 3 weeks into the job, three Chinese guys arrive. I say, Huaying Guanling. And then one of them, really loudly, in front of everyone in the restaurant says, Huaying Guanling, and does a shit version of my shit Chinese. And I said, hold on a minute, buddy. You can't do a bad version of my bad Chinese. That's racist. I am the only white guy in the village. I was the only white guy in this small Chinese city of 950,000 people. I was the only white guy in the town. So I said to him, at least have the decency, mate. We've all been out with the buddies. We all like a bit of un-PC humor. Wait till you get to the table. Then you can make fun of me. Nobody can hear you, no problem. You know, hey, look at the white guy with his, you know, Huaying Guanling. How bad was his Chinese? Huaying Guanling, Huaying Guanling, Huaying Guanling. Fine, I can take that if I can't hear it. But you can't Huaying Guanling me. Because I'll tell you right now, buddy, if we were in Dublin or New York or Edinburgh and I walked into the Chinese restaurant and the welcomer was like, oh, you are very welcome. And I went, oh, you're very welcome. Welcome to our restaurant. You want to find wise? Well, I'd be arrested. So don't Huaying Guanling me, asshole. And I'll tell you right now, you're lucky. You are lucky, buddy, that I'm a comedian. Because I would have been upset. I would have been upset, except the minute that you said it, I couldn't help but think, this is going to rip it when I take this back to Edinburgh next year. Anyway, thanks very much. I've been Des Bishop. Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you.
Good evening. This is very exciting. This is one of those moments where doing comedy feels really cool. It doesn't always feel cool. I'll tell you about the least cool moment of my comedy career. It was a few months ago on the way back from a gig on a train. It's one of these trains where there are no plug sockets in standard class, but you can't move for them in first class. I needed to charge my phone to make an urgent phone call, so I crept into first class, not for a permanent upgrade, just for long enough to get me some of that sweet, sweet juice. Stopped by the ticket inspector, asked me to leave. I said, I need to make this phone call. It's very important. We came to a compromise in the end, and the compromise was that my phone could stay in first class, but I could not. Let me tell you, that is a grim, grim 35 minutes from Walton-on-Thames to Waterloo, standing in the nether zone, peering through the glass at your iPhone, enjoying a better quality of life than you can currently afford. Not a very cool person. I went to parties as a teenager, about one a year, to keep my hand in. I was a big hit with the parents. Parents loved me. They knew what they were getting from the other boys at their daughter's parties. They were getting red wine stains in the carpet and hormones. They knew what they were getting from me, a box of roses at the start of the night, a hand with the washing up, and a thank you letter in first class post the following day. I don't like to boast much in my comedy, but I'm not ashamed to say that I write a good thank you letter. Beautiful paper, beautiful handwriting, minimum two sides. I would always write my address in the top right-hand corner, just in case any of the mums wanted to write back. They never did, but it's good to give them the option. The date underneath, the classic six-figure date formation, day, month, year, unless it was an American family, obviously, in which case it was day, month, year, because they've got to learn. Changing the world one letter at a time. It's very exciting. My life's got more exciting recently. because I've started seeing a woman. It's very exciting. And she's been seeing me, obviously, that's crucial. Two-directional seeing on a regular basis. Who'd have thought it? Finally! It's taken me a long time in my life, but I've got there. It's very, very exciting. Is she my girlfriend? Yes and no. That's my response and her response, respectively. It's very exciting. I'm not going to talk about the sex itself. I think that's a bit crude. It's quite difficult. It's just a series of things that can go wrong, really. On a good day, you'll pull a muscle. On a bad day, you'll create a life. No, thank you. If I wanted to pull muscles while creating lives, I'd play The Sims on a treadmill. I'll tell you what's exciting is the reaction from other men. I'll tell you about the first night I went back to hers. We kissed at a party. We then shared a taxi from the party. It was a taxi of purely geographical logic. I can't stress that enough. Her flat was halfway between the party and my flat. It made sense. But we never got to my flat. Bit of kissing in the back of the cab. We pull up outside her flat. She says, oh, you can just come and stay the night here if you want. That's not the exciting bit of the story. The exciting bit of the story is getting to say to the taxi driver, actually, mate, we'll both be getting off here if that's all right. You'd understand. You don't understand because you weren't there. It's like Vietnam. You'd have understood if you'd been there. If you'd seen the taxi driver's face, the most amazing mixture of emotions on his face. I think obvious anger at being referred to as mate by a posh child. But also a paternal pride in my achievement. I say paternal metaphorically. He wasn't my actual father. My father was not there. My father plays no part in this story, apart from denying it had happened the following morning. But I put him in his place. If it didn't happen, Dad, then who am I writing this thank you letter to? Thanks so much for having me, guys. It's been very exciting. Goodbye.
Thank you. Cheers. Good to see you. Nice to be here. Edinburgh. Feeling a bit homesick. I miss Pret-a-Manger. I love Pret-a-Manger. If you don't know Pret-a-Manger, it's an authentic French restaurant. So much in there, so much to manger. So much. I love manger in there. So much. I could have worked at Pret-a-Manger, man. I could have been a supervisor. I turned it down. Too much pressure. Too much pressure, man. Leadership, it looks fun. It's stressful. It's like if you ever see anyone leading a conga. Oh, on the outside, they're loving it, sure. The whole time. In their heads, I don't know where I'm going. I've not... Oh, I didn't plan a route. I never asked for any of this. Oh, God, I miss my family. Everyone's trapped. In the conga. You think you can leave? You can't leave. Person at the back, maybe. They can let go, make a run for it. Everyone else, you let go. You're not out the conga. Now you're the leader of a rival conga. Now you've got turf wars to worry about. Worst case scenario, you're second from the back, you let go. The person behind you loves congas, isn't giving up for anyone. Now you've got to try and mingle with a maniac on your hips. We're going to have a serious discussion about 12 years a slave. They're still going hell for leather. You'd have to go swimming just to get rid of them. Trying to better myself. Trying to learn how to play pool lately. That's hard though, before you even start. Got to set the balls up in that triangle. Don't know what order they're meant to go in. But seven yellows, seven reds, one black. They're not an easy to memorize pretty pattern. Like, if you want to remember the order of the colors of the rainbow, just remember Richard of York gave battle in vain, right? Easy. There's nothing like that. When it comes to the pool balls. Until now. I had a night off. Got a pen and paper out. Now, if I ever need to set those pool balls up, I'll just remember Renovating your rock and roll bungalow yielded yesterday's Ritalin, yet Raspberry Ripple Yin Yang's repel yoghurt. Or systematically sellotaping Steven Spielberg's broken seesaw since satellite signals southbound so sushi seems suspicious if you're playing Spots and Stripes. Goodbye.
That's lovely. That's very nice. Good evening. Hope you're all well. My name's Pete Furman. I'm a magician. I'm going to warm you up with a card trick. There's a lady here with a black top. What's your first name? Trish. Trish. Is it Trish? Trish. Trish, take this pack of cards. I'm just going to toss it to you there, Trish. Ensure that is a perfectly ordinary pack of cards. And take your time, because we're going to do the trick with this deck. Trish, you're familiar with the deck of cards? All the faces are different, all the backs are the same. Nothing to do with me, that's how they make them. That's how they make them, Trish. A little bit of humour there. Tiny, tiny bit of humour there. Don't judge. OK, Trish, I'm going to have you select a card in the fairest manner that I know. I'm going to let the cards sort of fall. They're going to fall from hand to hand. And you're going to say stop, and wherever you stop, that'll be the card that you pick. Understood? All right, so just as they go from paw to paw.
Stop.
Missed it that time, Trish. That's fine, though. No. Wait till I start, Trish, all right? Standing on my tit. 3,000 people. Could have picked anyone. All right, so just as they go from hand to hand there, Trish. Missed it again, Trish. Trish, I'm not asking you to crack the Da Vinci Code here, Flower. This is just... It's one word. That's all there is to this. So just as they go, it's not easy. There's 52 chances. It's not easy. Okay, so just Trish, I'll go half this. Very good. Trish, take the card that you've stopped me at. Pop to the edge of the stage here. Have a little pee-pee-poos. Very good. Yeah, take it off there. Very good, Trish. Trish, I've got a pen inside my pocket. What I'd like you to do is, I'll take that other deck from you. If I grab that, Trish, there we go. And if you can take the pen and write your name nice and big, capital letters on the face of the card that you hold in your hands. Nice and big. Gentleman friend here, Trish. Hello, mate. What's your name? Lee, having a good time there, Lee? Good stuff, good stuff. Do me a favour, Lee, just blink every now and then, it's a bit creepy. And just try and keep your eyes above my crotch, it's off-putting. All right, so just... Trish, how are you doing? You done that? There's not many letters, it's not tough. All right, I'll take it back. Now, Trish, if I hold it like this, is that the right way around for your name? Is it that way? OK, so I'm going to show this. You can return to your seat there, Trish. Friends, this is Trish's card. I don't know the value. I don't know the orientation of the signature. Have a good look. Trish has virtually bent it in half, so it should be a double to find. I appreciate the help, Trish, because I'm not as good as the other boys. I'm going to mix up the card in the pack, going to show you a few sleight of hand manoeuvres. Should you ever be in a game of cards, these are the moves you've got to look for. First manoeuvre is called a riffle shuffle. This is called a riffle shuffle. That's that one. That's a riffle shuffle. Next one's called a Paris Hilton shuffle. Paris Hilton shuffle. Looks good, does bugger all. Oh. Right. Is she in? No, not in. All right. Next is the rarely seen, quite difficult. Sometimes this gets a little pitter-patter of applause. This is the one-handed riffle shuffle. Let's see if this is achievable in Edinburgh. Oh, the boy wonders halfway there. Yikes. Yeah. 10 years of my life. Okay, that's called spilling the cards there. Pardon me. Now, Trish, do you remember about 3.5 weeks ago you selected a card? And I've shuffled up the pack, I've mixed them up, I've shuffled them up. Inside of my pocket here, Trish, I've got a little envelope, which happens to be empty. I'm going to drop the entire pack of cards inside of said stationery. I'm going to give them another little mixy-moo like that. Got one more manoeuvre to show you, people. One more manoeuvre. This one is called the Glasgow Shuffle. This is the Glasgow Shuffle. You mix them. Pal. Okay, I'm going to skewer the envelope on the blade of the knife. At the moment, Trish, you're thinking of one card alone. It's got your name across, so we'll know it straight away. Here we go. One, two, buckle my shoe. One card and one card alone, friends. It is the Ten of Diamonds, her name in it. Give her a huge round of applause. Thank you, Trish. eBay, you guys are nice. I'm Pete Furman. Have a nice night. Thank you very much. Good night. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pete Furman. You have been watching Edinburgh Comedy Fest Live. I'm Kevin Bridges. Good night. Thank you.